How's it going? Ronan McNamara here on the Irish Golfer podcast, and I'm delighted to be joined by another guest in studio. Well, in studio, I say it is on Zoom, so hopefully we've no connection issues. It is, of course, nice man Rob Brazel. He's heading off to the Sunshine Tour next week for a qualifying school. Rob, how are you getting on? How's the packing going?
Great, thanks, Ronan. Yeah, it's slowly getting there. Thanks very much for having me on the podcast.
Good man, good man. Yeah, it's a big couple of weeks for yourself. How's the preparation been?
Preparation's been really good, yeah. Brilliant. I've been sort of a bit busy out with gym, with work, with golf, putting a lot of work into sort of everything that I'm doing to get ready to be able to just kind of relax and put the foot down over there with golf and not have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, you've got a hectic sort of daily routine there with the work and the fitness, nutrition. And then you're obviously playing a few holes every day as well, and you're flat out in Bernard Quigley's simulator as well over there in Nace.
Yeah, Bernard's been, he's been really, really good to me. He always has. I've been a big fan of Bernard's, and just for the last few weeks since I came home from Spain, I was doing sort of a little bit of speed training with Mossy with the Capital Performance, just to kind of get back a bit of speed. And so I got onto Bernard and I asked him, would he mind using the studio every Sunday, just going in just a couple of hours every Sunday and just having a quick look at numbers, because I don't go on track one any other time during the week or anything. So I said I'd just go in there once a week, and he doesn't mind. And he got a new drive range mat in there last week. It makes some difference.
Yeah, I think
But
everyone in Ireland this time of year knows the value of having like an indoor facility that you can use, because the golf courses are they're taking a bit of abuse with the winter we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's so handy to be able to go in there and know that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to look at the weather app and hope to God you have to bring rain gear or anything else, which it's ideal. It's a great facility. There's a lot of room in there. He's all the technology you need. And if you as well, he's loft and lie machines for putters, for clubs, stuff like that. So if you do need a little adjustment made, or even to test something else that he has in there, like, it's a great facility to have.
Yeah, and you're obviously heading to the Sunshine Tour Q School down in South Africa with yourself, Liam Grehan, and Rowan Lester. Like, you must be excited. It's a good opportunity to get your season going.
Yeah, brilliant. Again, I've always wanted to be a professional golfer, and it's just, I think now I'm in a really good place now to do it. Obviously, very, very lucky to have the two lads traveling. Like, it's South Africa's a long way away, and so when you're going that far from home, it can be hard to really stick with it. But having the two lads going with me now that I wouldn't friends with for donkey's years, it'll make it a lot easier. So, no, it'll be a bit of crack heading down. The three of us, we've done a lot of preparation. We've kind of everything organized. We're getting games organized now for the 8 days that we get there beforehand, and just trying to get everything kind of done now that when we get there, it makes it a little bit easier to just focus on the golf.
Yeah, and Rob, could you have imagined, I suppose, 3 years ago when you picked up a wrist injury over on, I think you were on your holidays or something, and you essentially almost kind of walked away from the game. Could you have imagined turning pro 3 years later?
No, definitely not. Definitely from the sort of the middle of 2022 or 2020 to sort of the start of 2022, there was no thought to being a professional golfer whatsoever. That thought went swiftly out the window. And to be back here now and feel like I'm actually really ready to give it a go it's a nice place to be. Like, it's an exciting time for my golf, and obviously for my family and friends as well, who have always wanted to see me being like giving golf a real go. So it's gonna be an exciting 2 years.
Yeah, it was a bit of a freak injury you picked up as well. I think you were over on a Golf Ireland trip you were on a couple of years back.
Yeah, it was over for playing Spanish Am in Seville. And just after the tournament, I had an incident with an electric scooter. And that was, I broke my scaphoid. I was trying to mentally be like, it's not broken, it's not broken. I didn't end up going to the hospital for 4 weeks after the injury happened, which probably didn't help.
No, I wouldn't think so. Well, it's funny, like, you were, I suppose you went on to other things, you were enjoying work, you were enjoying working with cars and all that kind of thing. And then I think you stepped out onto the course in Waterville back in 2021 and you got the golfing bug back, and it hasn't left you since.
Yeah, big time. I was down there with Greg. I was actually chatting to him, Greg O'Mahony, chatting to him the other day about it. And my uncle Alan Landers, he's a member there for years. He got me out on the course for a few days at the end of summer, and it was just the weather was class. Went down for sort of a bit of a holiday and golfing. I remember just thinking to myself, like, what was I thinking ever stopping playing this game? And it was from then on that I knew, like, what an opportunity golf can give you, like, regardless of playing it or making it as a pro or anything like that. Like, it's such a beautiful game. You get to play, like, the most incredible places all around the world. And I've been lucky enough to travel with Golf Ireland for the last number of years. And, like, the places you get to go and the people you get to meet, it's a no-brainer to stick with it, really. Like, and like, you see professional golfers, they get to live that life tenfold. So if you get even a snippet of that, wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, and like you said there, you feel like in a really, really good place. Do you kind of appreciate it more after almost kind of going away from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'd taken it kind of for granted for. I didn't take it granted when I was younger, and then it kind of got to a point I was taking it for granted, kind of as a, not as the luxury that it is. And when you step away from it and realize how, like, what you can have from golf, and you appreciate so much more, and you as you said, yeah, you appreciate it. You can put so much more time into it.
Yeah, and you got your win then at the Connacht Stroke Play then this first season you kind of came back. So that was good. You've had a good couple of years, obviously, now your last couple of years as an amateur as well.
Yeah, no, they have it. Absolutely. Yeah, and it was great to come back like that. As I was saying to Gary, like, a couple of days ago, it was a great stretch. Great to finish off that stretch of the couple of tournaments I played, Ulster Stroke Play, the East, and Connacht Stroke Play. To be able to come back within such a short space of time and win and compete with all the rest of the lads who were playing so well in Ireland, that was the kind of a big confidence booster, and really made me believe that I was making the right decision in going back playing golf.
Yeah, and looking back on your amateur career, Rob, what would you say was the high point?
The West would have to be the West, and then the All Ireland finals at Naas, I think, would have to be my two most fun moments of amateur golf. Obviously,
Yeah.
there's a few team things as well, like Kerry Cup in New York, in New Jersey in 2019 was a pretty special event.
Yeah, and obviously Keith Egan won the West there last week, who you know pretty well too, so that was obviously cool for him.
Yeah, I was texting him there a couple of days or this morning actually. He was saying only real legends win the West, which is a nice comment. But
Only
was
proper
great
men win
for
the
another
West.
Kildare man to another Kildare man to get on the get his name on the board.
Yeah, hopefully not too many more as a good mead man.
You could be hoping there.
So, Rob, obviously you're going to turn pro when you get down to South Africa. Have you sought out the advice of any professionals? Have you talked to anybody about it?
I've been sort of chatting in to a few of the lads who kind of have been doing it, and then a few games organised even this week with a couple of the lads who have turned pro already, and I've a couple other people who I'm gonna be kind of picking their brain and just seeing what advice they have and do's and don'ts, and like I'm sure I'll come across a lot of people over the next few weeks even that will have some really really good advice. And you know yourself, you listen to it all and you take the good bits and leave the bad bits of what you get from everyone. But I have a lot of great people around me, not just pros, but very experienced people in terms of life and then with golf as well. So anything they have that can help me, I love listening to kind of what stories and stuff they have or what ways they do things.
Yeah, and like how much of a help is that to have so many good people around you? And then of course, like in Naas as well, your own golf club, you have like Jack Hulme turned pro, obviously not pro anymore, but Conor O'Rourke and Johnny Yates. Have you picked their brains at all?
I've been on to Johnny and Connor recently, but hopefully get a game with them before I go to South Africa and then pick their brains a bit more. And I've been actually doing a good bit of practice and stuff with Jack lately. He's kind of getting a bit of the bug back, and I would obviously, me and Jack grew up in Rathzalla together. So I'd be playing golf with Jack for the last 17 years now, 16, 17 years. So like myself and him are very close, and I know he never got to play as a pro, but he has so much like knowledge of the game, and he's just like in terms of actual golf, like as you're swinging and everything, and then just in terms of general knowledge, he's a great lad to have kind of in your corner, and he's always very, very good to help me anything I ever needed. He's always there for me. Any questions I have, and getting out doing a bit of practice, he always has a few like tips and stuff like that for me. So to have someone like him there that I can always like always ask any questions, and even he was out caddying for Paul Dunne for a while as well. Like, so if I have any questions, he can get answers to stuff that he doesn't have answer to. So having lads like that, which is very helpful.
Yeah, another Kildare man that won the West. God, it's unavoidable at this stage.
Something in the lily whites.
But in speaking to Jack, obviously, and Johnny Yates as well, like, and obviously he can get a bit of insight off Paul Dunne, can Jack. Like, there's lads who know the realities of the professional game and how tough it is. Like, so I suppose you're under no illusions of how difficult it is to be a professional golfer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I know even the work I'm putting in now isn't anything near what it takes to even possibly get going as a professional golfer. But like to have them lads to keep drilling into your head like how hard it is, and I know you're getting to go travel the world and get to go to these nice places and stuff, but at the end of the day, like you have to perform, and if you don't perform, it's gonna end very, very quickly. You're like professional golfer at a medium level is very expensive. So if you're not putting in the work and seeing the results, it's not feasible to do. So like yeah, I know it's not gonna be no walk in the park, but it's certainly one thing I am willing to put the work in and hopefully see the benefits. And if not, I've always given it a go.
Yeah, that's all you can do is give it a go. Like, have you got a plan B, Rob, in case, things don't quite go your way? I know, like, Padraig Harrington studied accountancy when he turned pro. Have you got any ambitions to have something to fall back on there?
Yeah, I have a couple of bits and pieces there that I certainly will look to if the golf doesn't go my way in a couple of years. I've a couple of friends who have very successful businesses that I've worked with, who I know would take me on in a heartbeat, and stuff like that. So, and even like with golf, there's a lot of opportunities with golf outside of like playing as a pro. The teaching side of it wouldn't be for me, but there's a lot of other opportunities. I think more so out of Ireland, with golf than just playing. But yeah, I've definitely got plan B and C wrapped up if golf doesn't go to plan.
Good stuff. Thank
It might be quite a different career, but it's still something I love nonetheless.
Yeah, plenty of avenues to go into. And a little birdie tells me, Rob, you have a big kind of a funding day planned in Nace next month in May. So that'll be really important. Hopefully a lot of people can turn out to that and give you some support.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the Nace very, very kindly have given me the use of the course on the 17th of May. So I'll be running a fundraiser there. I think we're just about full on afternoon teams now. So I'm trying to see how many teams I'm allowed to get out in the morning time, doing a shotgun start, and then going to do like an auction and a raffle on the night, and hopefully try and get as many good prizes for the day for golfers to attract a better crowd, and then doing tee box sponsorship as well. So if anyone has like businesses and stuff that they'd be able to share their support. As you know, it's an expensive game to get into. So any support is a big appreciation for getting going.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that a lot of people on the outside looking in don't realize, because when you are a pro golfer, you are running your own business. You're not just showing up to these places to play. You have to pay for your flights, your food, expenses, travel, everything, like your hotels. Like, it's quite an expensive gig.
Yeah, it's very, very expensive, and like it's, if you could make two bad swings in 2 days, and next thing all of that is spent with no income. Whereas like in certain different types of work, like you could have one bad day in the week, but you could still afford good days, and you're still making a few quid. Whereas with golf, like there's such a fine line of actually making money. And if you're not on the big tour straight away, like you really have to be sharp and becoming like in them top 10s, top 15s to nearly to be just paying your way, never mind actually making money out of it. So it's that's where like the being able to get a fundraising day is so important, I think, at the start, because it can just make things that little bit easier, whereas I don't have to come home from tournaments to have to go do my 12, 13-hour work days just to be able to fund sort of your next tournament or your next day out.
Yeah, and that obviously helps, as you said, with the commitment side of it into golf. You don't have to have any other distractions. Like I know yourself and Rob Moran, who recently turned pro, he's going well on the Alps Tour. He's obviously didn't meet the criteria for the Golf Ireland funding this year. So that obviously puts an extra incentive on how important, getting your own sponsorship and funding is this year.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, it's a tough criteria to meet. So, like, obviously, if you do get it, it's a massive benefit to your year because it's a big lump of funding. But if not, then it just puts such an emphasis on making sure that you can get your own funding and get people involved. And as I was saying to like my parents and that, like, if I can go out here and get a sunshine card, it's so much easier to market yourself with something like that behind you. Whereas, if you don't have a status on any tour, it's kind of it's a hard thing for someone as a business owner or something like that as a sponsor to be like, oh yeah, well I'll back you when you I don't know what you're playing in, but if you can get the likes of a sunshine card and that behind you, then you can market yourself that bit better and hopefully get a few good sponsors on board and really give it a good go and like as I said, be able to prep much easier and just focus solely on golf and getting 1% better all the time.
Yeah, and obviously I was going to ask what the season plan is. Obviously getting a Sunshine Tour card is number one, I presume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sunshine is number one. I've been chatting with Richie O'Donovan quite a bit. He's over there at the moment, so just kind of get an idea on how things work over there, and if you get sort of a certain grade of category, what's the best way of going about it, and if not, then I'll come home and I will play clutch events for the remainder of the year, and then I'd go to Alps happily. Then Alps Q School towards the end of the year. Obviously, all going well with funding, I'll go to DP Q School as well. And if I can get out to America for some sort of mini league stuff out there during the summer or late summer as well, I'd love to do that if I don't have the sunshine card. I just felt like last year with going to DP Q School and then Alps Q School was quite quickly after that. I wouldn't have been able to organise the funding as quickly towards the later end of last year, especially having a nice day with weather and stuff like that. You couldn't really have it at that time of year. So I just felt Alps wasn't the right time to do it last year. Whereas I wouldn't, I live like I'd be more than happy to go and give Alps a crack, Alps Q School a crack if I don't get a sunshine card this year.
Yeah, like so you have plenty of options, and obviously when you're playing the smaller tours, you can have lots of time off as well, which obviously isn't the easy thing in the world for having that momentum playing. So looking at the Alps, if you're to go on that, that's been a kind tour to Irish players over the last few years as well. So that might rub off on you.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, a lot of lads have done really, really well. Obviously, Mullarney is the man for that now. Showing us all that can be done. He's got a full Challenge Tour card now. But it's a great tour. Obviously, there's a lot of Irish lads doing it, so you're getting to travel with them, and you're not having to travel too far for majority of the events, which makes a big difference as well.
We spoke there about the harsh realities of turning pro, like with the lads in Naas. But like you mentioned there, Ronan Mullarney has done really well on the Alps. Obviously, won the Order of Merit. Gary Hurley and Conor Purcell have come through it. David Carey, sorry, has won a couple of events on it. Johnny Yates obviously won the grand final there a couple of years back. So I suppose you can take inspiration from that side of it as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think like there's a serious amount of inspiration to be taken from all them Irish lads who like including Tom and stuff. Like there's a serious amount of Irish pros that are doing really, really well over the last couple of years and sort of going step by step from tour to tour. So having them lads there and obviously having played a lot of golf with them all over the years, been able to ask them for any advice and stuff. It's a great pathway to be able to follow, like when you've lads actually doing that in front of you, and you can pick their brain and see kind of what do's and don'ts they would do on if they're to do it all again, working their way up through the tours.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Tom McKibben. I saw a picture of yourself, Keith Egan, Matt McLean, and Tom obviously in Lahinch there a couple of years ago at the Home Internationals.
Yeah, in front of
I
the
don't even
goal.
know. I don't even know what age Tom would have been back then, but could you tell at that stage he was going to be so good?
Oh yeah. He could tell by then he was going to be an absolute baller. I think himself and Collie played together, and I remember chatting to Collie about it, and he was like, "This kid is unreal." And then Tom came to South Africa with us then the following January or February in 2020, and you could just tell he was going to be special.
Yeah, it's funny how he's gone and done it his own way, really. Like, he cut his teeth on tour when he was like 18 or 19, and he's just worked his way up. And now he's arguably one of the best players on the DP World Tour.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like you can see him nearly every second week there. He's top five, and every other week he's top 10, top 20. You always see his name up there. It's great to see, like, with someone who you would have played a bit of golf with, and like to see them getting on so well. And he got his win last year, and he's a European Tour name now, which is like it's mad to think about as well. In the way it's somebody played Holmes with a few years ago. It's a great inspiration for lads like me, like to be able to see Tom going out there and really showing what he's made of.
Yeah, and obviously you've played a lot of Golf Ireland events in South Africa, as you mentioned. Like, have you played the Sunshine Tour course at all? But like, even if you haven't, going to South Africa with the Golf Ireland trips in that January, February stretch is, I'm sure it's probably going to help you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. And in 20 I think it was 2020. We played at altitude as well in Rand Park, which is only like an hour from where we're playing Q School. So like having that bit of experience and having just played golf in general in South Africa, like I felt last year when I went down after not being down there for 3 years, I felt like I had a bit more experience knowing golf courses, knowing kind of how everything works down there. And it's somewhere I really, really, really enjoy golf. I've played well down there. I never missed a cut as an amateur in South Africa, so I said, "Why not? Like, if I enjoyed amateur golf down there, why not give it a crack as a pro down there too?"
Yeah, I think fingers crossed that good little run can keep going. And like, talking to Richie as well, I completely forgot to mention him. Like, he's obviously probably no better man to chat about what it's like on the Sunshine Tour, because he's done all right. He got into a DP World Tour event there a couple of weeks back through the one day qualifying. So like, there is avenues if you get onto the Sunshine Tour, to get the odd DP World Tour start as well when they have their South African swing.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many opportunities down there with the tour. Between obviously your starts on possibly DP, you've a lot of co-sanctioned events with Challenge Tour early in the year, and you're getting to play some serious courses. There's three full European Tour cards from the Order of Merit. Like they're very hard to get because you've a lot of sort of DP members that are members of the Sunshine Tour as well. But it's an opportunity there to kick on big time from the Sunshine Tour. So I like Richie only has good things to say about it. He loves it down there. He loves the golf. He knows his way around there big time now. He's spent a number of years down there. So like he'll be a great man to be able to pick his brain the whole time when we're down there. And we're actually playing the day we arrive, we're going out playing straight away with him.
Very good. And obviously going down there, it's quite a way to go, but it's almost needs must, because losing the Euro Pro Tour a couple of years ago, I'm sure that would have been something that would have been in your mind. So there is a bit of a squeeze to, get on the smaller tours and make the way up and try get cards.
Yeah, exactly. It's like down there, you have even a more of an advantage with weather-wise as well compared to maybe what you're going to get with Clutch or the likes of what anything else is around sort of Great Britain and Ireland. I kind of, as much as I might have done well in a few tournaments in bad weather, I do enjoy playing in sun, as everyone does. Like South Africa probably does get a bit windy, if anything, but like it's. You're getting good weather, you're getting good golf courses. The standard down there is seriously, seriously high. So like for a third level tour, it's a really, really good one to go to. Anyone I've spoke to about it is like thinks it's a no-brainer going down there and giving it a crack. And it's very feasible down there. Like it's a long way to go, but it's such a well-supported tour that it's not as expensive to play as what some of the other tours are.
Yeah, and you're quite an aggressive player as well, you've told me before, so I'm sure going down there will suit you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've always kind of been like that, and So it's the type of golf that I like down there. Probably why I kind of did not too bad as an amateur down there. So like the courses as well, like they're not, let's say some of your like typical Spanish courses where you've got someone's swimming pool and someone's garden like right beside you. It's they're a bit more open, and I like that style of golf. So hopefully can manage to pick up some bit of a status for the tour down there and give it a crack then for the year.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And obviously you're chasing the dream of making it as a pro, and you've had lots of lads around you who you've grown up playing golf with in the amateur ranks turn pro. Obviously, I'm sure you're aware that we had a bit of a piece there a couple of weeks back just on, I suppose, the gap at the top and why we haven't maybe got as many lads on the deeper world tour as perhaps we should have with the effort we put in and the success we enjoy at amateur level. Just as you enter the pro ranks, Rob, I suppose, anything that you've seen, like why do you think that might be?
It's a hard one to kind of like. I remember reading your article and speaking to a couple of people about it. And it like it's the more you think about it and read it, it's so true. Like we've so many top level amateurs and like lads who have got to top 10 in the world as amateurs, and like we've competed in six man, we've competed in Eisenhower. You've got lads competing and giving it a good run in some of the biggest amateur tournaments across the world, and it's just maybe the likes of more help, and as you said, like the way other nationalities do it with like ex-tour pros or ex like ex-high level professionals being there to help and guide lads on the lower level tours, stuff like that, and as you said, like organizing maybe like the kind of being a bit more involved in coaching wise, stuff like that, you know, it could be a big help for lads who are trying to get going as a pro, like instead of kind of going from the you're the number one as an amateur, and then you're just kind of dropped as a pro, then back down to the bottom. If you've more people around you when you're dropped back down to the bottom, you know it's easier to be able to get back up to where you want to be as a pro.
Yeah, because as we said, like it's a tough gig being a pro, and especially nowadays with so many players, you know, coming into Europe, it's a world game really. So many players from Asia, Europe, South Africa, Australia. Like there is a squeeze, perhaps maybe on, you know, the Irish and the British players trying to get those cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like it's like the level of golfers we have here, like we certainly should be able to squeeze out a lot more cards than what we have. Like you seen there a couple of years ago, the three lads went and got DP cards. Like so the standard of golf is certainly there in Ireland. It's just trying to really get it out onto the world stage as professionals. I think like there's so many lads there that are well able to be European Tour household names, just like Tom. Like so, if you can find a way to get more and more Irish lads out there, as more Irish lads get onto it, it's going to bring more Irish lads onto it because everyone's going to it'll be inspired by them, and you'll be able to get more information out of them, and it'll sort of all work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just finally, Rob, there's a great crop of that Irish team from the last 2 or 3 years who are now turning pro, like yourself, Rob Moran, Mark Power, Alex Maguire. You're all kind of going to be out there now at the same time, looking to make your way.
Yeah, exactly. It's great to have the lads out there. Like, you know, we all competed together for Ireland as amateurs. So, like, we're still all competing together. We're still all great friends. We're out there now trying to basically make a living for ourselves. And it's good to have lads that you've been so close with over the years, like doing kind of the same thing that you're doing for travel wise. And so it's just it makes things that little bit easier. And you can all kind of whatever information you get, you can share and. So you're always going to pick up something off someone.
Yeah, and like turning pro, it can be lonely sometimes, but from what you've been saying today so far, it doesn't sound like you're going to be, you know, on your own too much or left to your own devices.
Yeah, like I know it is a very lonely game, and there's going to be a lot of points where you're going to be on your own and traveling on your own, and you have to be able to adapt to that and be able to prepare for that. But I think there is a serious amount of Irish guys and even other nationalities who we would have played amateur golf with, they're all kind of doing the same thing. So yeah, we're competing against each other, but at the end of the day, like we're still all friends, and like you see on the lads on tour, like they're competing against each other and they want to beat the lad beside them no more than anyone else. But at the end of the day, they still are your friends. and you still are traveling with your friends. And if you're not going to be like, if you're not going to be friendly with people, what's the point in just going around like as a grouch and kind of doing things on your own? It's never going to work.
Yeah, exactly. An uplifting and heartwarming way to end this podcast, Rob. And I obviously wish you the best of luck down in South Africa on the Sunshine Tour. And if you do come back for a week or so, please, for the love of God, bring some sun back with you because we could all use it over here.
Absolutely, I will indeed. Thanks a million for having me on. I really, Ron, really appreciate it.